Tithing. Conclusion. The word tithe in Greek and Hebrew both mean a tenth, 10%. Tithe belongs to God and is a prescriptive amount, where offerings and giving to the poor is a non-prescriptive amount, but based on a cheerful heart. Believers in Yeshua, Jesus, are to tithe to his body just like Abraham and Jacob did. We use the law described by Moses to understand the intention of the tithe, but are unable to keep it as described by Moses because we are not under Israel rule and no longer under the Levitical structure, but the Messianic structure. Christians, believers, who don't tithe and don't give, are disobedient children of God. This document only focuses on the tithe and the typical questions associated with it, not the offering nor giving to the poor. Main objections to tithing: questions and answers. Do we need to tithe because there are no priests, Levites, temple, and we are the temple? Some background: there are no official priest and Levite offices today. Priests are specifically from the line of Aaron, and Levites are from the line of Levi. The priests oversaw the giving of the tithe to the Levites and received part of the tithe as a heave offering. Priests were responsible for teaching people the law of God, taking care of others in Yahweh's name, making sacrifices for people's sins, praying for the people, the upkeep of the temple, and pointing strangers to God. While Levites, who were also responsible for teaching people the law of God, taking care of the people, but more specifically assisting the priests, and had specific temple duties. The Lord rebuked those who did not bring tithe and offerings to his storehouse and told them that they were robbing him. Answer: we are to tithe not because of the priests, Levites, or temple. We tithe because the tithe belongs to God. It is his, just like Abraham and Jacob acknowledged by giving the tithe. They predated the Mosaic law, yet they tithed because it belonged to God. Abraham gave the tithe to Melchizedek. It was not only of the ground or fruit or cattle, but as per Hebrews 7 verse 4, the Greek word for spoil means the best of all. This would include gold, stones, everything he had. Abraham did not give a tithe of the items those kings had stolen from King of Sodom and Gomorrah, as he said to the king of Sodom. Abraham could have taken from what those thieving kings originally had, and a tenth given to Melchizedek. Jacob too gave a tithe to God from all the Lord had given him. They lived before Moses. How much more believers who follow Yeshua as one who is greater than Melchizedek? Side note, some would argue that Abraham tithed only once, but this passage doesn't limit the tithing to only once. It was only mentioned once when he saw Melchizedek. How many times did Abraham see Melchizedek or give to him? Could have been more than once. In addition, Abraham gave one-tenth of all he had. This would have been an accumulation of all the times prior. Same with Jacob. Jacob's tithe was ongoing, as he was going to give tithe on as much as the Lord gave him. How did they know about the tithe? Who taught them? It was passed down from Adam through Shem to Abraham. Shem was the 11th from Adam, was alive during the time of Abraham. The book of Jasher calls Shem Melchizedek. It was obviously important enough for Abraham to teach Isaac, who taught Jacob the importance of the tithe. God, through Moses, just formalized the tithe to God in the structure of Israel and through the old covenant set up. This was not limited to the area of Israel, as the tithe was set up before they entered the promised land. Nor was it limited to Israel's rule. During the Roman rule of Israel, the Jews still tithed. Yeshua affirmed they were supposed to tithe without ignoring the other laws. Everyone knew that the tithe belonged to God. Therefore, as Christians, we are to tithe to Yeshua, our Melchizedek, through his body, who are doing his work on earth. Any Christian teaching against tithing or not tithing is disobedient, as the tithe belongs to God. We do not need to tithe because we are kings and priests, therefore the tithe belongs to us? Yes, we are kings and priests through Yeshua, but not everyone works in kingdom roles of winning the lost to Yeshua, connecting people to God, and helping the body. Today there are officers God has placed in the body's pastor, evangelist, apostle, teacher, prophet, helps, who do similar work to what the priests and Levites did, but they do it through Yeshua the high priest. When giving to those who minister in Yeshua's name, they are giving to Yeshua his body. Those who work for other people don't tithe because the tithe was only of livestock, fruit, seed, and vegetables. So only farmers gave tithe and not those who were carpenters or builders? Not true. Abraham and Jacob gave a tenth of all they had. This did not limit it to farming. Even though farming was the predominant occupation during that time, many converted their livestock, fruit, and vegetables into money to bring to the temple. This means the Levites in some cases would have given their tithe of money to the priests. In Hezekiah's day, there are examples of people tithing on holy things that are over and above produce. This meant anything they dedicated to the Lord, such as jewelry. We are under grace, therefore do not need to tithe, as it is a payment for sin. Grace is not a license to sin. Sin is contrary to the law, and we are not free to do what we want, but we are a slave of righteousness. There is no mention in the New Testament that the tithe has been canceled or taken away. Tithe is not a payment for sin. The tithe belongs to God, so do not rob him. There is no mention that we are to tithe in the New Testament, therefore we don't need to. There is no mention in the New Testament that the tithe has been canceled or taken away either. There are a lot of things not mentioned in the New Testament that we are still to do, e.g. not to sleep with animals. Yeshua said that we are to teach all things he commanded the disciples. This would include Yeshua, who told the Jews that they were to continue to tithe. Luke 11 verse 42, "But woe unto you, Pharisees! For ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." One may say that he was speaking directly to the Pharisees, not the disciples, and they were under the old covenant. In front of his disciples, Yeshua acknowledged that they were to keep it and gave no indication that we should stop. And moments earlier, Yeshua said that they are to listen to those who are in Moses' seat. That was specifically to his disciples, and the tithe is included in the teaching of the law. But some may say, this was before the cross, and therefore the disciples were still under the law. To which I would say, have you never read what Yeshua said when he rose from the dead? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This includes Matthew 23 verses 1 to 4. Side note, the New Testament does not highlight many things that we are to keep because we have the law of God, e.g. there is no mention in the New Testament books not take the Lord's name in vain, not to make idols, not to have sex with animals, and the list can go on. Paul tells Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He was not referring to the New Testament books, as they were not in circulation during Paul's time. They only had from Genesis to Malachi. Paul therefore does not need to be prescriptive because they already had the law of God. All he needed to do was to encourage and direct them. To elaborate on the Old Testament isn't the law of God, but specifically the ordinances that deal with sin so that they could connect with God, such as circumcision, temple, priests, festivals, festival Sabbaths, sacrifices, consequences for different sins, stoning, sacrifice, kick out of Israel, etc. This was done away with through Yeshua's sacrifice for sin and connecting us to God. This was the shadow that was fulfilled in the Messiah. The law of commandments is still in place and has not changed. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. We don't know if it is gross or net, therefore we can't tithe. Giving of gross or net is a personal choice, but it is still a prescriptive amount of one-tenth. Tithing on net is acceptable because one could argue that the tax belongs to the government, one doesn't have the right over it, and what is left should be tithed on, similar concepts to tithing on the profits. However, if one tithes on the net, would it be ethical to ask for a tax return when the government portion was not in the original amount? So why ask for a tax return unless giving it all away? Just a thought. Anyhow, tithing on gross is also acceptable because there is one income and the government receives a portion of the same pie. My personal view is, if it is possible financially, tithe on the gross so that the government portion is blessed. We only need to give with a cheerful heart, as 2 Corinthians 9 verses 5 to 12 indicates. It is not a prescriptive manner of like tithing. This is the common response of disobedient Christians. They also say, sometimes I give 20%, other times less, all my money belongs to the Lord. But let us be honest, when they average it out, they give way less than 10% and trying to justify their disobedience. And when they say they are tithing, they are lying, as they are just giving. It is true that some in the early church in Jerusalem gave all their possessions to the church. This wasn't in the law, but something some believers wanted to do because they believed the end was near. In Scripture, there are three types of giving that believers confuse with the tithe. 1. First fruit, first portion of the first increase, this is not the tithe. 2. Voluntary giving to the poor, this is not the tithe. 3. Offerings, this is not the tithe, and this is the amount that one purposes to give. This is what 2 Corinthians 9 verses 5 to 12 is referring to. Just like the offerings were given to the priests and for the temple structure, it was a freewill offering and it is not a prescribed amount like the tithe, it is a voluntary amount. It too needed to be done with a cheerful heart. Sometimes this is given to the traveling preachers, such as this passage. No one knows what to give because there are three types of tithing in the Mosaic law. Therefore, is it 27%, 19%, or 10%, or? The pattern we follow is Abraham giving tithe to Melchizedek and Jacob to God, the straight 10%. However, regarding the Mosaic tithe, it was also 10% but split different ways. Keep in mind that Israel was governed by Israel. This meant they lived by the calendar prescribed in the law. There are two main interpretations of Israel tithe under the Israel rule, three different tithes accumulative. This is the incorrect interpretation. This is based on the idea that year 1 and 2 is 19%. This derived from 10% given to the Levites, which left 90% to be tithed on for a festival celebration, therefore a further 9%. During year 3, it was 27%, as it was the same as year 1 and 2, but at the end of the third year, they would give a future 10% of what is remaining to those in need, thus another 8.1% of the original amount. People have quoted their interpretation of Tobit 1:6-8 as their support for this interpretation and ignore earlier examples such as Abraham and Jacob, who specifically gave 10% of all, not 19 or 27%. Tithe split different ways. This is the correct interpretation, Abraham and Jacob giving 10% of all they had. Firstly, the Israelites were to tithe to the Levites in the surrounding cities, but there is no prescribed time indicated. Secondly, during the year men were to appear three times before the Lord at the place he chose to put his name. This is Jerusalem, and the specific times were unleavened bread, Pentecost, and tabernacles. Each year, any one of three festivals, the whole family would come, and when they did, they were to take one part of the tithe to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. The other part of the tithe was given to the Levites who lived close to them. Two of the three festivals the men went, and they would not give any tithe to those at Jerusalem, but they would give the full tithe to the Levites in their surrounding cities. Unless they were in Jerusalem or surrounding areas, they would give it to the priests there. When they went to Jerusalem, they would never go empty-handed but took offerings and first fruits. Now on the third and sixth year of the seven-year cycle, it was a little different. The men still went to Jerusalem three times that year, and this included once with their family. However, instead of bringing part of the tithe to celebrate, they brought no tithe. They left their tithe at home, and at the end of the year, they would give it to the poor, Levites, those less fortunate, and they would also eat with them. Side note, Tobit is not part of the sacred scriptures, and the interpretation of Tobit could also be referring to the split different ways. Tobit 1:7-8, KJV 16:11. The first tenth part of all increase I gave to the sons of Aaron, who ministered at Jerusalem, another tenth part. I sold away, and went, and spent it every year at Jerusalem. And the third, I gave unto them to whom it was meet, as Deborah my father's mother had commanded me, because I was left an orphan by my father. Tobit could have been in Jerusalem or lived close by, as he gave to the priests. The another tenth part could also mean other part of the tenth he sold and spent in Jerusalem, as one would do during the first and second year celebration at the festivals. Deborah father's mother had taught him to give to the less fortunate, as in the example of the end of the third year. He split the tithe, 10%. Three ways. Details on the tithe when the people were governed by Israel. 1. Tithe were given to the Levites throughout the year. There were 48 Levite cities, of which included 6 refuge cities and 13 cities for the priests. The tithes from the surrounding areas were given to the Levites of their area. Then they took 10% of what was given and brought it to the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. Those who lived in Jerusalem were to give tithe to the priests and Levites. Also, the priests received the first fruit and offerings. 2. When the people came to Jerusalem with their family, they used part of the tithe that they had at that time to celebrate before the Lord. The other portion of the tithe was already given to the Levites in their hometown. 3. At the end of every third and sixth year of 7 year cycle, all the tithe of thine increased the same year was to be kept and provided to the orphans, widows, poor, and the Levites at the end of the year. The Levites of that area wouldn't have received anything until the end of the year. The men still went to Jerusalem 3 times a year and still gave something, gave their first fruit and offerings, only the tithe was kept back until the end of the year. The below is an example, only the numbers would have varied based on what they had each time or when they went, but the point is to illustrate that the accumulation would have been 10%.